based on a true scary, contains adult themes, language, and all-around scary shit. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Based on a True Scary. You guys, it has been a tumultuous, five months?
Five months,
but we...
I blame Trisha, mostly.
Oh, yeah. It was... Full transparency, it was 100% my fault. I definitely did not try over and over again to record. No, life... Look, guys, sometimes life gets in the way, but you know what? What matters the most is our fans and being... ambassadors of truth in the horror community. And that's what we're doing here today.
That's true. Yeah.
That's true. How are you, Jake?
Wow, that's a loaded question.
It really is. Yeah. I don't know how much we can divulge on a public platform.
Let's just say a lot has happened with Jake. But I'm doing great now. And guess what? Trisha and I are both single.
Oh, it's true.
Well, that sounded like I was saying, like, we were going to get set up.
I thought that you were going to say that you're seeing a therapist, which I was going to congratulate you for.
Yeah.
Yes. Which, yeah, no, we, this I'm is the first.
A big fucking news. Jake's Look, seen someone.
I think that that's,
no,
you
it's
know,
great. I love it.
You got to advertise. Yeah. You got to stand up for that. No, this is the first podcast where Jake and I are both single, I think. Is that
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
And look, I know people are trying to ship us.
Oh, yes.
I know that it's everyone's dream. A real Sam and Diane situation here. But I think it's safe to say that. First of all, you guys all know that we are both heinously unattractive individuals,
very ugly,
right?
Yes.
So it's tough. It's tough.
No. Ever since I shaved my beard and long hair, and it's just been not doing well.
Yeah, and for me, it's just been since birth. So, but I think neither of us are each other's types. That's what makes us so safe. I think we can safely say that I am not nearly cool enough for Jake, and Jake is not nearly nerdy and dorky enough for me. So
that's fair. Yes.
Yeah, it all evens out. But our love of horror brings us together.
There it is,
platonically. And also, if you guys know of anyone,
dude, don't say that. Your DMs are about to.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
It's probably not a lot of female horror. There's not a lot of female horror fans.
There's a lot of female horror fans, but most of them don't wear prairie dresses and look like me. Yeah. So I think people are like, ooh, she's different. Which is true. But yes, we don't have a guest today.
Oh my God. Yeah, we don't.
Which is good, because I feel like we can get back into the groove of things and get excited about being together.
That last episode we did without guests worked out great.
Yeah, you guys all loved that one, right? Audience, I think we got positive. Have we even checked the numbers?
No, I haven't. I got a new phone. I haven't even downloaded the app.
Wow. Yeah. Again, it was all my fault.
Yes,
that we
exactly.
Haven't recorded.
Yep, yeah.
Yes, that's not telling at all. But today, this is a very special episode because we are doing Scream, which... I think you guys are going to hear me talk about how this is the best movie of all time.
I've been hearing it since we suggested to do it. And then you canceled on the last one that we tried
yes,
to do.
Yes, was me. I canceled on the last one. The lies, Jake. No, we are doing Scream, which is... It is the best movie of all time. I mean, horror aside, it's the best movie of all time.
It really is. Like, I my notes throughout an episode, like throughout a movie, like... You know, probably every 5 minutes I'm writing something that I find that I want to bring up.
Yes.
But I just was going through mine, and it's like pretty much once every, like 20 minutes in, I'm like, I stopped taking notes because I was just watching the movie.
Oh, same.
Yeah. I've seen it, a million times.
For the millionth time. Yeah. We were scheduled to do this podcast a little over a month ago. Life got in the way.
Trisha messed up.
Exactly. And then we rescheduled it for today, and there was this moment where I was like, do I need to rewatch Scream? And I figured, like, why the fuck not?
Yeah,
so I just did again for the millionth time, because I mean, how could you say no? I don't think it's free streaming on anything right now, which is frustrating. But
no, I thought it was on Netflix.
I couldn't find it on Netflix. Depending on what time of year you hear this, though, that information changes like every day.
Oh, that's true. I was about to say we should like tell people where it's streaming. You know, we'll just
it's
cut.
Not. I think I had to rent it on Amazon Prime. But you know what? It's worth $3.99. It's worth everything in the world because it's the best movie of all time. So I don't know. Do we want to talk about anything else personal? Do we want to talk about the outfit that I didn't wear?
Oh my God. Jesus. I like we were saying that we're not a match, but man, you threw out that the dress or the shirt.
It's just a shirt.
And her bombs were out. Let me tell you.
Nobody, look, I know nobody wants to see grandma's cleavage, but sometimes you got to fish with a little bait.
Yeah, no, I
it was making
good
Jake,
for you. Go, girl.
Jake uncomfortable. This outfit would not, let me maintain, this outfit would not be slutty if worn by any other human being. But when you have lived your life wearing only muumuus and prairie dresses, you put on a tank top.
Yeah, that actually makes sense now it's that true. I think about it.
If
because I was
outfit,
just, when you sent me the photo, I was just like, whoa.
I know, like, I know. Just showing like even the slightest bit of cleave is just inappropriate for me. And look, we've learned, but hey. Being single's tough, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have that
in this economy.
No.
Anyways, I don't want to sully this perfect movie talking about my tits or my sad dating life. So let's get into Scream. I'm gonna do the details here. It's so weird to not have a guest to explain things to, but yeah. All right, real quick.
The guest is our listeners.
The guest, you know, you guys are the guest and our favorite guest at that. Oh, Jake.
I don't know about that, but you know.
I was going to say you still got it, but then you ruined it. So Scream came out December 20th, 1996. It was written by the genius, who is Kevin Williamson. He wrote I Know What You Did Last Summer, The Faculty, Scream 2. Alexa just starts talking. Are you serious?
Jesus Christ. Fuck you, Alexa.
Alexa, turn off. Do not disrupt the podcast. We're leaving that in. That's fucking hilarious. Yeah, Kevin Williamson has written basically every cool teen horror
why
movie.
Did I think that Wes Craven wrote this?
He directed it.
Well, I knew he directed it, yes. But I thought because didn't he write his past movies?
He wrote the Nightmare.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the Nightmare movies, the first one, and then obviously New Nightmare. No, this is Kevin Williamson, which is why the banter, Kevin Williamson's like the king of teen banter. He wrote Dawson's Creek. Yeah, like I said, I Know What You Did Last Summer, The Faculty, Screams 2 and 3, which are the only ones that I actually count in the canon of Scream films, 1, 2, and 3.
Really?
I do not acknowledge 4 or the new one. I think, you know.
Wow.
I do what you got to do, but.
I didn't mind. You're right. When I think about it, it was a little.
Just like leave Scream alone.
Yeah, they're making another one too.
Of course they are. I mean, if it makes money, they got to make money. Directed by Wes Craven. Obviously, you guys all know Wes Craven. He is the master of horror.
Who's Wes Craven?
He directed some horror movies.
What was that one movie?
Little known ones.
Christina Ricci.
Cursed.
Cursed, yeah. Actually,
that's
like
actually like a fun movie.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
Yeah. Highly recommend Cursed. Yeah.
Oh, he also did Mr. Holland's Opus.
He did do Mr. Holland's Opus. Yeah. Look, Wes Craven had reach.
Yeah.
The man did.
I can't believe I remembered that.
He did a lot. He did The Hills Have Eyes, which we did on a previous episode.
Yes, yes.
So we also have Wes Craven lore in the podcast. Budget for this movie was $15 million. It grossed $173 million at the box office. It, huge, huge sleeper hit. I didn't see it in theaters because I was 9 when it came out, to date myself, but I ended up seeing it a million fucking times after. Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 79 critic score, 79 audience. Metacritic is 65. This is a fucking joke. Obviously, all of you were on crack because it should be a 100. Just clearly. It's rated R. It's an hour and 40 perfect minutes. And the truth claim for this one is, so it's kind of said everywhere that Scream was inspired by a true story or that Kevin Williamson was inspired by a real life killing spree when he wrote the script. So that's what we're going to assess here and why it qualifies for the podcast, other than I just wanted to talk about it.
And we've running out of movies.
We're actually not running out of movies. We're just running out of movies that I want to watch and talk about.
That's fair. That's fair.
But if you guys have some, please submit them. Still, we promise. I know we say this every time, but we promise we're going to do more episodes.
Yeah.
Staring Jake deeply in the eyes. The synopsis for this movie. Look, okay. If you haven't seen Scream.
Yeah, just don't listen.
Stop listening.
Yeah, yeah. Go watch it. Actually.
Stop right now. Put it on. I believe you can rent it on Amazon now for $3.99. Do yourself a favor. Like, it's incredible.
It blows my mind that people listen to this podcast without watching it, but I have talked to several people who have.
I mean, I think as someone who's guilty of listening to podcasts that talk about movies that
I've never seen,
I understand. That's if you fair. Look, it's, we're charismatic. We also talk about like true crime, so I get it. But
your
this
boobs,
one,
your bush.
Oh my God. Stop. This, This one, it's just, it's a crime that cannot be forgiven. Like, you have to watch Scream.
I'm assuming most people have watched Scream.
Like, you have to. My mom said she hadn't watched it. And I was like, I guess that makes sense, but also, I don't think she'd like it.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's a whodunit teen slasher. It's perfect. I won't spoil things if you haven't seen it, so just watch it, but we're going to spoil things later. So stop, watch it, and then keep listening. Fucking Scream, dude.
Fucking Scream.
It's the best movie ever.
I mean, it starts off with Drew Barrymore.
Right.
I mean, like, but that's here's the thing. That, like, I was talking to someone about this. Was this part of her comeback?
So it kind of was. A lot of my notes are just trivia because I know so much about this movie. I've seen it a million times. But she was actually cast in the lead role for Sydney. She was going to play Sydney. And the rumor is that it was her idea to play Casey. She thought it would be like crazy if like she, you know, she was the biggest star attached to the title. So she was like, what if you, spoiler alert, murder me within like the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Which is like now a thing they feel like they do all the time.
I know, which is a gimmick that has, because again, this is the greatest movie. It like reinvigorated the horror genre. And she was on all of the posters. Like you thought you went into this movie being like Drew Barrymore is going to be the star of this movie. And then she gets murdered.
Wow, I didn't know that.
In. Oh yeah. And so people like, that's what made this movie kind of bigger than, I mean, not that it should have been because it's amazing, but like how it got so big at the box office, people were like, holy shit, like where can we go from here?
That's like evil and awesome all at the same time.
I know, it's true. I don't think I knew who Drew Barrymore really was when I watched this movie.
Yeah, no, I mean, I am only learning now that she was like the Lindsay Lohan of the 90s. I had no clue.
I knew her from E.T. because I had watched E.T., which in my opinion is the scariest movie of all time.
Yeah, when you watched E.T., you kept texting me that. I was like, is she drunk?
I was. Chances are high. No, I saw this movie when I was 10 years old, which is probably too early to see this movie. But like, I mean, there's a diary entry from when I was 11 that just says like, we watched Scream 2 times last night. I've now seen Scream 9 times. And it's like,
wait, you have a photo 11. Of that?
I do. I have a photo of that journal. I'll post that. I'll post the receipts. But like this movie literally educated me as a child. Like it taught me words. The Richard Gere gerbil story. Like,
oh my God. Yeah.
I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know that Richard Gere had maybe shoved a gerbil up his ass. But I knew that something happened with Richard Gere from this movie. Like,
I like that people think that's a real story.
There's no way.
No.
Tatum, you're wrong. Come on.
Yeah.
But yeah, for better or worse, which is arguably debatable, this movie shaped me into the person who I am today.
I think like I was watching a lot of horror movies when I was young because we had a full cable package and I lived in the basement. Like in a room built in our basement.
This all makes sense. Yeah. This is all adding up.
And I watched a lot of things, but like, I just, even just the beginning with the trivia about Jason, like Friday the 13th.
Exactly.
With the mom, I was like, oh, I didn't know that. And like went and watched a movie.
Same. Yeah. Like I had not watched really any of the movies they talk about. They talk about, you know, like the scene with Randy, right? At the party where he's like, oh, Jamie Lee didn't show her tits until Trading Spaces. Like, she doesn't show him in these movies because she's demure. I learned all of that. Like,
I wanted to be Randy.
You wanted to be Randy.
I just wanted to be I wanted to work at a movie shop and I wanted to work at Blockbuster. I applied for Blockbuster, fucking didn't get it.
I think that's working at a video store was cool in the
maybe not the Randy, 90s. But the idea of working at a video store.
I get that. Yeah, it's like. Yeah, working in a movie store or a record store was like Empire Records. This time was very much with like High Fidelity and all that stuff. Like you wanted to be cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I don't know why. I just knew that you made more money in restaurants and, you know.
There it is. There it is.
I chose. Yeah. I obviously chose money over being cool.
Yeah.
And like chose to this day. I am not very cool. Also some fun trivia. Kevin Williamson wrote this script in 3 days. Do you know what I've done the past 3 days? Nothing. I got my car checked. That was 4 days ago. Fuck.
I once wrote a script for a movie and I wrote, it took me 6 weeks to write. I wrote 45 minutes on the train back and forth from work. and I gave it to my friend, and he told me that he felt like someone who learned English as a second language wrote it.
So it wasn't screen quality?
It wasn't screen quality.
Yeah, writing's hard. So the fact that he could just bang this out. So the story goes he was trying to pitch his script Teaching Mrs. Tingle, which ended up getting made later. Did you ever see that movie?
He
wrote that one. It's not great,
yeah.
Admittedly. It's fine. It's like kind of fun, but it's not great. He couldn't sell it at the time, so he heads to Palm Springs on like a getaway to get outside of LA. And in Palm Springs on his vacation, he writes Scream. That's not...
It doesn't drink the entire weekend.
I know, I was
pool.
Like, that's not what I do.
Yeah.
When I, can you imagine? I'm like, I'm drunk and in a pool on like a flamingo floaty.
Yeah, yeah.
The entire time. So yeah, it was also originally called Scary Movie.
I did know that. Yeah.
Okay. That one, I guess that's, is that low?
I think low
hanging fruit trivia.
No, I just think I only know that because I used to be obsessed with reading the IMDb trivia section.
Oh yeah, it's
and
good.
I was just one that I was like, oh, then they made Scary Movie.
Yep.
Like,
correct.
Yeah. No.
Also, I like Scary Movie. Unpopular opinion. Yeah, the first
one.
No,
everyone loves the first one.
Okay, yeah. That's good to know. It's deserved. Yeah, okay, sorry. Off track here, but we'll get into the movie. Yeah, that first scene, obviously Drew Barrymore.
The Jiffy Pop.
It's a mini movie. Like, that could be the movie, and it's incredible. I have no notes.
I know. It's like do we, like, talk about it? But it's like...
I mean, I can just, like... That scene is so brutal. Watching it over the years, so I've been watching this movie religiously since I was 10, and like, I don't know how you feel, but now watching it as like I'm at the age where I should have kids, it is rough that like her parents come home and they hear her dying over the phone. Like,
that was that was such a great little... The thing about this movie that kind of bugged me, though, believe it or not, is that they did this great thing where the victims actually fight back and hurt like the murderer.
Right.
Which I love, except they still made really stupid decisions.
Like, well, yeah.
If you kick someone and he's on the ground dead, like laying there, you throw something at his head or something. Don't run away. Yeah. You know, like, even though the scene where she gets, breaks her neck in the garage.
Ooh, Tatum.
That was fucking...
Yeah, they do Tatum dirty
here.
Yeah. This is the first like meta horror movie where, you know, they're making stupid choices, but then discussing them. Because you have that scene where Sydney's on the phone talking to you know, what she thinks is Randy.
Yeah.
But it's really the killer. And she's just like, oh, yeah, horror movies are so stupid. It's always some girl running up the stairs when she should be going out the front door. And then later, she does exactly that. So it's like, what if you were in a horror movie? Would you make these dumb choices? And apparently, to these kids, yeah.
I mean, doesn't she throat chop him at one point?
She karate chop his throat.
Yeah.
Look, you gotta throw.
Yeah.
You gotta shoot your shot if you're getting murdered. How about, okay, the kind of opening scene after Drew Barrymore's death where you get Billy sneaking into Sydney's room.
Yes.
And he's like, he's clearly trying to hook up with her. And the way that he does it is he talks about their relationship and how it like reminds him of seeing The Exorcist on TV. Is this sexy? Like...
I never put that together. Wow.
Was that a move? It actually works. They kind of, you know, they almost start hooking up if it wasn't for Daddy breaking into the...
Yeah, right.
Into the room. Thoughts on...
Exorcist to get... You know, maybe I'll try it tonight, you know? just walk up to a girl at a bar and just be like, you know what? You remind me of The Exorcist.
Our relationship,
The way we're talking
about...
We were heading
towards an NC-17, but all the good shit. Just, you know, we were edited for television. Ugh. What are your thoughts on Skeet Ulrich as Billy Loomis? Is he sexy?
Yeah, no, for sure. He's like a 90s, like, kind of like...
He's like a poor man's Johnny Depp, I think is
yeah,
why they cast
yes,
him. Yeah,
that's exactly it.
Okay, so you're in? I don't know if I was ever in.
I heard a story about a friend of mine was at a party and he was hitting on her. And Sheila's like, no, I have a husband. Like, even though they were going through a divorce, they're like, he's like, I have a husband. It hasn't happened yet. And my friend was like, oh, I would have done it. It's like, okay.
Skeet, Skeet.
Skeet, Skeet.
How do you think he feels that his name, like, got turned into a
slang term? I don't think his name got turned. I think it was, that wasn't that always a thing?
I thought it was the song. The rap was that. Is that?
But I think that term has always been around, and then they
unclear.
I mean, then again, I never would have known what that meant
until the song,
until Chappelle's Show.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah. That's what blew it up.
It's like Google it. Like, it's like the one time I had to tell our, like, I'm playing Cards Against Humanity, and our 20-year-old, like, my coworker, she's like from, like, raised Christian, got the card Bukkake. And we're we can't tell you. You just got to Google it. Her face.
Cards Against Humanity. That's woof. I mean, we know that's sort of like not safe for work, but.
Oh, yeah.
Heavens. Yeah. We're really dipping in there. This, by the way, I have this in my notes. I'm kind of all over the place here, but the movie was filmed in like Sonoma area and Santa Rosa, California, where I lived from ages 2 to 6.
Oh.
So that's my personal Scream connection. The high school that they were shooting at was supposed to be Santa Rosa High School, but Santa Rosa was like, no, like the school was like, you can't film a movie about teens getting murdered here. So they ended up having to shoot at the Sonoma Community Center. And if you watch in the end credits under the thank yous, it says no thanks whatsoever to Santa Rosa City School District Governing Board.
Wow, you really do got the trivia.
I got the trivia.
Wow.
I know. I just love that though. I love the cheekiness. I like,
yeah, that's good.
I also love, speaking of the school, the Fonz as the principal.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah. How do you feel about Dewey?
Okay.
I have a note here that just says poor Dewey.
Poor Dewey indeed. The character, it's like, I can't tell if the character was written to be like borderline, maybe like, you know,
watch it,
a little like mentally challenged, or if that was just David Arquette's reading of the role. But like, I didn't realize until I was older how odd he was playing that character. He's hilarious though. I love him in it.
Yeah, he's great. He just like, there's definitely parts where I'm just like the whole scene in the police station where his sister was just like, you know, like ripping into him and blah, blah. Yeah. And I'm like, that doesn't happen in real life. Does it?
Yeah. I don't think
How
I'm going
to. How small of a town is that supposed to be?
It's supposed to be like, I think it's supposed to be sort of like a Healdsburg, like a small touristy outside of Sonoma town. Like, I think it is actually supposed to be like a Santa Rosa.
Oh, gotcha.
So not super small.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to get into the incompetence of cops on this, podcast, yeah. But I think it's entirely possible that you may have a deputy that's not the brightest bulb in the box. But also, Dewey, like, I think he's like a junior. He's 25, because there's the line where Gail's like, you know, he's like, I was 24 for a whole year.
Well, he also just like completely like just like, he's trying so hard to be a cop, you know, and like, yeah.
Right.
And then this hot girl shows up and he's like, oh, I'm an idiot again. Like, whatever you say.
That hot girl being Gail Weathers, AKA Courtney Cox. Gail Weathers, what a character.
Yeah.
Just love her in this. You've got Courtney Cox like trying to be the opposite of the Monica persona in Friends.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Which you think is, yeah, why she wanted this. Because, you know, Monica in Friends is this like sweet, kind of like neurotic, you know, pushover,
right.
And then she wants to be the hard-hitting journalist.
Do you think that's why she took the job?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like, though, that there's a lot of talk in the movie that, like, Gail Weathers, who's supposed to be, I'm assuming, supposed to be 25 to 30, right? Probably a little...
I think she's, like, maybe supposed to be late 20s, early 30s. Yeah.
And she is going up to the murder victim... the murder victim's daughter.
Right.
She wrote a book about basically being like, your mom's a whore.
Yes, it's
like,
true.
Like, I was just kind of like, whoa, like.
Look, she's a hard-hitting journalist.
I mean, honestly, I would hope that the news station would be like, Gail, you could not cover this story. You know, like.
I mean, I think she was like, she had her own news.
Yeah.
I don't know where her stuff was airing, where Hard Copy, I think that was what her show was called.
Yeah, yeah. I thought there was a show called Hard Copy. I think of something else, doesn't matter.
I could be wrong. I have had, you know, 3 sips of wine, so all my
What was that wine? I thought you made a specialty cocktail.
No, it's a natty wine. So it looks like it's got a funky color to it.
Oh, the more you know.
That's related to Scream because it's from wine country.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm just going to bring that back.
Okay, yeah.
Real quick, I want to go back. I do have some notes about the Fonz's performance as the principal.
Mm-hmm.
He is really touchy-feely with Sydney when he calls her into that office.
Oh, yeah.
Notice that? Because they want to... So murders start happening. You guys have all seen Scream. murders start happening. They're concerned. They want to talk to Sydney because it's the year anniversary of her mom's death. And, you know, they just want to make sure she's okay if she knows anything. And so they call her into the principal's office. And Henry Winkler, playing the principal, like, puts his hand on her face and is like, "You doing okay, Sid?" Like, hand on the shoulder. I don't know. He'd be Me Too'd in a heartbeat.
There's a lot of movies that you can go back and watch where you're just kind of like, ooh.
No touchy-touchy of the students.
Yeah. When he starts, like, he's beating the other students that show up.
Right.
Yeah.
When he, the pranksters, he's, like, putting scissors in their faces.
Yeah.
Still a great performance, though.
It's good. It's good. And the little cameo, what do you call it? Easter egg of it's Wes Craven in the Freddy Krueger outfit.
Look
yeah.
at you
yeah.
with the, okay.
I didn't even need that. I just knew. I was like, oh, yeah, that's Wes Craven.
He's even in the, like, Freddy Krueger sweater he plays the janitor. He does that. He makes little cameos in his movies a lot of the time. He like,
that was a fun cameo.
It. That was cute.
Yeah.
He's kind of no, not you, Fred. Right before we see Henry Winkler die. Very sad.
Yeah, I don't know why they had to kill him.
Well, weren't we sort of supposed to think, he was like a red herring. Like, he was maybe a suspect. This movie does a good job of making everybody seem like they're a suspect. And so I guess they had to kill him to be like, it's not the Fonz, which, like, I was never.
It just felt like they were killing off teens and then just randomly killed.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he doesn't really fit the bill. I mean, I guess murder is murder.
You need a certain amount of killings in these things. And here we are.
You gotta kill. Okay, how about the scene where Sydney goes into the school bathroom and she hears the girls talking shit. And then she gets attacked by Ghostface.
What about that scene?
Do you think that this is in her imagination? Or do you think it really happened? Because if you watch, there's like timeline videos you can watch on YouTube where they break down who's doing the killing. Oh, by the way, spoiler alert, it's two killers. So they're like, when is it Billy killing and when is it Stu killing? And they can't figure out, like, it doesn't fucking nerds.
Jesus
There's
Christ.
A theory that might be in Sydney's imagination.
I mean, the insane timing, like, what, he went to the bathroom?
He's waiting and in the girl's bathroom? Right.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I'd feel more comfortable knowing that, like, maybe she saw it in her head. Like,
so we do think it's in her imagination.
Yeah.
This is just something I was curious if other people have thought about this scene in depth.
It's just like the time, everything in this movie is pretty practical, especially once you find out there's two killers. You're like, oh, Billy was able to go to the, because he was over here, you know, like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's the only one
that's
that everybody
really weird,
can't.
Yeah.
So we can either say, okay, did the genius that is Kevin Williamson make a timeline error, or is it in Sydney's head?
Yeah.
We don't know.
Here's the question for you. If you walked into the bathroom and girls were talking shit about you, would you hide in the bathroom?
Well, no, she's already in the
stall. She's already in the bathroom,
And they come
out. Yeah, they start.
Would I come out and confront them, or would I would absolutely just sit in there and take
really?
It. I confrontation's very uncomfortable.
I wouldn't even say anything. I would just come out and be like, "What's up?"
So you would
and just and let them die inside, knowing that.
I mean, I don't think you understand how nerdy I was in school. I don't think they would probably just beat me up. No. I was at least tall. Yeah, I would have stayed in there.
And you swam. I learned that.
I did. I did. I swam, but I still couldn't throw a punch, I'm sure, or protect myself. What else we've got here? So, yeah, killings are happening. Most of this movie takes place in the final party scene.
Yeah.
It's like, you get a lot of the setup. You get some good murders, some good chase scenes. Sydney's scared. She doesn't know what's going on. And then I also love this, too. There's an active killer on the loose. He's killing students. And all these kids are like, let's throw a party. The town has a curfew.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck the curfew. We're going to throw a big party at
this beautiful
house.
I think teenagers are dumb. I believe that.
It's true.
I could see that happening.
It seems feasible.
Yeah.
I
mean, I feel like we had a lot of issues during like the beginning of COVID of like teenagers throwing parties.
That's
and becoming
true.
Super spreaders.
We had like a real life killer on the loose.
Yeah.
And all the teenagers literally threw indoor house
parties.
I
happened back home. I know, like one of those high schools, like they had to like, when they were kind of coming back, they had to like stop because someone threw a house party and everyone got COVID.
All right.
All right.
Fair.
All right.
See, Scream really is based on a true story. Yeah. So that final scene, it was known on the set as scene 118. It took 21 nights to film.
Wow.
Which, as you know,
yeah,
is like absurd. And I guess at the end of it, the crew made I Survived Scene 118 shirts because that whole like party scene took, it was like the bulk of the shoot was at this one house. Which, oh, I desperately want to buy that house so bad, yeah. And it is not for sale.
No, and you got the address?
Wow, are you kidding me? Sometimes when I just get bored, I just look it up on Zillow and hit refresh. I'm like, you up yet? Because, you know, I have like $4 million to drop on.
Yeah, someone just bought the Nightmare on Elm Street house,
that
right?
One's
it was
in
a celebrity, right?
Yeah. Oh, was it a celeb?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
That would make sense. No, yeah. That house is really pretty. They did a good job.
That whole area is pretty.
I know, it's true. We live, we're poor.
Yeah.
But yeah, the party scene, that's where you get like the classic, I'll be right back. The rules.
Right.
Where Randy lays down the rules of the horror movie. Let's your hero.
Let's chat about how not hidden that camera was that Gail Weathers brought in.
Oh God. Fair. It was on top of the TV that everyone was watching.
Yeah. On top of the VHS player, I think. Right. Yeah. It's just like the one that you switch out daily, like when the movie's done, you're just like, oh, I'll put something else in.
Netflix, some one kid has to walk up and insert a VHS into where you just put the hidden camera.
God, I just like, they couldn't have like just faked something, like just been like, oh,
or
yeah.
Put it anywhere other than the main focal point of the party.
Or just like, oh, look, there's a, like, it's a pin camera. Like, I know that the technology probably didn't exist then, but who cares? Like,
also, I love that Gail Weathers, I mean, basically her idea is, people are definitely going to get murdered at this party, so let me plant a hidden camera so that we have the exclusive footage of carnage.
Yeah.
Like, brilliant.
Yeah.
But, again, Gail was cold. Gail was cold. I love her. Speaking of cold, how about Sydney having sex with Billy, losing her virginity right in the middle of his murder spree? It's a tough beat.
I think we should talk less about that scene and more about that Scream 2 and 3 should have actually just been her going to therapy, surviving the fact that she lost her virginity to her mother's killer.
I mean, okay, I've thought a lot about this. Sydney goes through some shit in this movie. First of all, her mom is murdered. She later realizes it's by her boyfriend, who she loses her virginity to. In between him murdering, like, almost all of her friends, her school principal, like, there's a lot of casualties trying to kill her. And then, you know, Scream 2 comes out, like, a year later. And she's just in college.
In college, with caller ID. No big deal.
She's got caller ID now, so, you know, she can suss out those fakers. Doing fine. Off, out of school, living her life. Oh, no.
Like, and not only that, you found out your mother was cheating on your dad.
Oh, yeah.
With lots of people.
The rumors were true.
The rumors were true. Drool. Wow.
Drool.
Drool. Oh, Jesus.
Gruel. You mean girls in it over there? Yeah, that's... How about... Does Sydney get the rest of the school year off after this? Does she just go to school?
I mean, at that point, you're just going to have to be like, you're graduated. You're good.
Yeah, what happens in the town of Woodsboro after this party where, like, so many students are murdered? I don't know, man.
Yeah.
That was the Scream 2 I want to see, is like day after. Like, what's the trauma? Because it's there.
Maybe we have issues.
I mean, that's true. Well, why do we want to see? Scream 2 is brilliant.
Why do I want to see someone go into therapy fixing?
No, they gave me exactly what I wanted to see, which is more Ghostface, more killing, this time on a beautiful college campus. Do you like Scream 2?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it's great.
Some people say it's better than the first one. Those people are wrong.
They're fucking wrong, yes.
I think it might have a higher rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Let's find it out later.
Yeah, we'll look later. I just have notes about how much I love the house and how it's huge. The, like, chase scenes don't even make sense. This house is so huge. There's all the little stairwells and, like, the weird attics. Let's talk about the look behind you scene with Randy, with your hero. So he's watching.
Oh, he's what you look behind you and they show. I was going to say, shows up in the background.
It's genius.
It's good. I mean, that's why I was saying I get why they had to put the camera there. I just wish
they get that one gag.
I just wish they would have found a better way.
Just put slightly naked. You know, everybody used to have all those TV console stands back in the 90s with all the compartments. Like, put it slightly to the left.
Yeah, whatever.
Not on the VCR.
Right, yeah. Where did they all go again? Oh, they all drove.
They hear that the principal is dead. And so all the kids jump into their wasted, you know, they're wasted and they're jumping into cars and they drive.
Okay, that part is, okay, that part is hard to believe that everyone's just like, yeah, our principal was murdered.
And he's like hanging from a flagpole on the football field. I don't see, that somehow sounds believable to me.
Sounds cool to you?
No, I said believable.
Oh, Jesus.
Kids suck, man. Like,
yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, so then...
Did you get bullied? Was that what's going on here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I laughed at that. Jesus.
Wow, it just got dark.
Now I'm worried you're going to kill me.
Yeah, I know. You better watch your back. No, it made me stronger.
There you go. There you go. Good for you.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I'm doing
great. No issues at all,
no,
for sure.
No, zero. Definitely not therapy either. Just slide... breezing through life.
This podcast brought to you by BetterHelp.com.
No, don't use BetterHelp. I had a bad experience with BetterHelp.
Oh, that's why I'm on. I love it.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
I guess if you find the right match,
later.
It's fine. Okay, yeah. The sponsor is sponsored by nobody. BetterHelp, fine. If you want to give us your money.
Just go get help.
We'll consider it. So the look behind you scene with Randy, I just love that so much. He's like, so he's telling Jamie Lee to look behind her watching Halloween and the killer is sneaking up behind him. And then they're being watched. He's being watched by Randy, the cameraman. Kenny. Kenny, the cameraman.
And it's delayed.
It's the 30-second delay.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Poor Kenny.
Yeah. Why did they have to kill him?
I agree.
Yeah.
And they kill, spoiler, they kill Gail's cameraman in the second one, too.
I'm not going to be her cameraman.
I know. You'd think they'd learn by now.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's a tough beat. Oh, I also love the scene where Sydney's in the car and Ghostface is trying to get in and the locks keep unlocking and she has to keep jumping.
Oh, yeah, and relocking them. Yeah, that's actually a fun scene.
The scares in this are legitimately creepy.
Yeah.
And do you remember if you knew who the killer was when you first watched it?
I'm so bad at it, though. Like, I've always been bad at guessing who the killer is.
Well, I think this was the first... don't quote me on this, but I think this was maybe one of the first instances where there were two killers. Which nobody saw coming.
No.
Now are you thinking?
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think. No.
There's probably other movies now that I'm thinking about it. But this was definitely like one of the more major ones where you were like, holy shit, I wasn't even considering the two killers thing. Yeah. Now, of course, after Scream, you can't do it. You got to be original.
Yeah, wow.
It's still everywhere.
I'm just happy that they didn't make more Screams and like... I'm glad they didn't do like what I feel like some movies do where it's like, okay, there's going to be three killers this time. And then there's going to be four killers this time.
Every time they made a new Scream movie, I got scared that was what was going to go down.
Which actually, what's so great about it, I know you don't like 4 and 5.
I enjoyed 5. I just don't consider them part of the canon. 4, I refuse to even speak about.
I just find it interesting that, that like you can forever, like it's cool, like in a certain way that knowing that like you're never really safe because like another two people could get together and be like, yeah, let's fucking kill.
Right. Cause you're like a Sydney
Prescott.
Famous victim.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like let's try to be famous and be the successful ones, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like Billy and Stu got all this clout.
That's why I like the fifth one a little. I see the fourth one definitely was not as good, but that doesn't matter.
I mean, whatever. I'm not getting into it.
Yeah. That's fair.
Emma Roberts is a like,
yeah.
And Kevin Williamson wrote that. Oh, I don't care. Don't watch that movie. It's actually not. If it wasn't a Scream movie, it's passable.
I see what you're saying.
I hated everything about it, though, because you can't. I don't know. It's a black mark on an otherwise perfect record. Although I'm a defender of Scream 3. I think we can all say that that's really not a good movie for a lot of reasons, but I enjoy it.
I remember liking it, but I just think I just liked. I like the formula of these movies.
Right. You want
to
see
your
friends.
I'm just, exactly.
It's like the gang's back together. Yeah. They're getting into antics. Gail has insane bangs in Scream 3.
Yeah, she does.
Makes the movie. Okay, I realize we haven't even talked about Matthew Lillard.
Oh, yes.
Who is batting 1,000 in this movie.
Yeah.
Like his performance in the kitchen scene where they start stabbing each other and he's just like,
that, like losing the blood.
I'm feeling a little woozy here. Or he's like, my mom and dad are going to be so mad at me. Like, what a star.
Yeah, I mean, God, I really wonder what happened to him too, because he was in a lot of great things, Like, have you ever seen SLC Punk?
Punk?
Oh my god, it's one of my favorite movies.
I was like, a lot of great things. What, Scooby Doo?
Like, well, that's what I meant. Like, he had all these like coming up movies, and it's just like then.
I don't know what happened. I would love more Matthew Lillard in my life. I think I saw that he went viral on Twitter like a couple years ago because people were sort of tweeting that like he's an amazing actor, and I think he genuinely responded and was like, "Wow, this really means a lot to me."
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know if he must have gotten blacklisted for some reason, but
yeah, like some weird. What's the guy that's coming? Like, I can't think of his name now.
Oh, Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser. Yeah.
Wow. Do I support this comeback?
Yeah.
I haven't seen The Whale yet, but I really want to. This is a total derailment, but I just saw Barbarian. Jake has not seen it yet.
La 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 la.
I'm not going to say anything about the movie because I think the less you know, the better. But you guys all need to go see this movie because it's like a really, really great horror movie. We haven't had a good horror movie in a long time, in my opinion. So go see Barbarian. Okay, back to Scream. Are you looking at your phone?
Yeah.
That's not what we're doing.
Uber Eats notification.
Oh, it's not a text. Did you think it was a lady?
Maybe.
Yeah. Just food.
Just food.
That's the man
it's
in my life.
It's my lady.
Yeah. Wow. So that last scene, it's like total gore fest. There's so many murders.
A lot's going on, but like they're also like it's everything's being explained well at the same time.
Perfect.
Yeah.
With they
the
do
dad
a good job.
In the closet and then.
Oh, yeah, the dad. Everybody thinks the dad's the killer. No, he's been locked in the closet the whole time.
Yeah.
And then Gail saves the day. You think Gail is dead. You also think Randy's dead.
Yeah.
But no, Gail comes back, ends up shooting Billy in the head.
Dude, that scene where they shoot him in the head, like he's like, this is the part where they wake up
come back for one last scare.
Oh, God.
It's great. And then he does.
I still know it. I still got scared.
Oh, it's so scary.
Yeah.
But again, that super meta horror that this movie kind of invented, really.
Yeah.
It was just beautiful.
Except if I was a murderer and I was laying there and I'm like, okay, these people all think I'm dead. I would wait.
You wouldn't go like, boo.
Boo.
Yeah. I think he literally goes like,
I think it says boo, yeah.
Like, while they have a gun pointed at him. It was a great scene, though. And then...
Also, how would you tell the cops about that? Like, oh, you shot him in the chest and the head? Well, no, I shot him in the chest. And then he woke up and said, boo. So I shot him again.
Well, as we know, the Woodsboro Sheriff community is not really the smartest.
That's
so they're
true.
Probably
that's
just
a
happy
good point,
that...
yeah.
But then that's basically it. After that scene, you just get like the news reporters swarm. And then Gail Weathers gets her story. And that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the amazing, like, so 90s credits roll, that font.
Yeah, yeah.
That fucking font.
Yeah.
That ended up being, like, the 90s font for so long. Any horror movie, any, like, grungy, it just used whatever that font was. I love it. It's perfect. It's a perfect movie.
It's great.
This is new. We're going to do a little trivia time. So since this is my favorite movie, we figured Jake will read some trivia questions, and you guys can play along at home. And see if I can be stumped on Scream trivia. I'm kind of nervous. I've had a couple sips of wine.
There's three pages. Should I do all of them or skip some of the, like...
I mean, feel free
to read.
What's
the name of the killer in Scream? I mean, that's pretty...
Like the names of the killers?
No, like the name of the killer in Scream.
Oh, Ghostface?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
like that,
okay,
I can skip that stuff.
Yeah, I think if it's too obvious, you can skip them. Pick and choose the ones that you think might get me.
This one is pretty easy, but...
Okay.
I think it'd be good for the audience.
I'm scared.
What does the unknown caller ask Casey Becker at the beginning of the movie?
Like, do you like scary movies? What's your favorite scary movie?
Let's find out. It is. Yeah.
Ooh.
The other ones. Oh, I guess I can read the answers for you.
I'm going to be confident
here and
say that I don't need multiple stories.
Okay, here you go. What is rule number one on Randy's list of rules for surviving a horror movie?
Oh, this is great. Okay, so rule number one is you can never have sex. And then rule number two is you cannot drink or do drugs. Rule number three is you can't say, I'll be right back.
It is. They don't list the other rules, but it's don't have sex.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I think this one's my... Okay.
Huh?
Jesus Christ.
How many noises can we make?
Which painter inspired Ghostface's mask?
Oh, fuck. Okay.
I can...
So I know that it's called... I didn't know we were doing an art history lesson here. I know the painting is called The Scream. I want to... Is it Munch is his name? Edward Munch? I think
it is. It's Ed Bird.
Oh, it's Ed Bird. Oh my God, I'm sorry.
But we'll let that happen.
I did not. That is not what I thought it was. Okay. Oh. Munch. Oh, okay. Okay.
Where does Casey's father tell her mother to go?
Okay, oh. I actually know this. Jake is seeing me get excited. No. He says to go over to the McKenzie's house, which is a callback to Halloween when Jamie Lee Curtis is like babysitting and she tells the little kids to go over to the McKenzie's house because there's some spooky shit going on.
I'm
positive.
Correct.
Okay.
Actually, I didn't even click it. You just were so confident there. I just didn't even ask them. Oh, that's stupid. Okay. Okay. What performers dated during the filming of Scream?
I actually know this.
Of course you do.
I know. I thought this would make me cool. It's like actually embarrassing. So Neve Campbell and Matthew Lillard dated.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that messed up? So, and actually they were still together when they were filming Scream 2. Because again, that they started filming like immediately after the film, like after they realized it was a hit. And so there's a scene in Scream 2. It's like the party scene at one of the sororities. And you can see like Matthew Lillard in the background because he was just on set. So they made him an extra. And it's when he has like bleached blonde hair or something.
Oh, wow.
So he's kind of less recognizable.
No, I knew that. That one's okay. This one's easy. Which actress does Sydney say would probably play her in the movie version of her life?
Tori Spelling.
Yeah, that's easy.
Who ends up playing her in the movie? That's a callback in Scream 2.
Oh.
Did you get a juicy one?
Yeah. I actually don't know this one. I'm trying to figure out who it is. Which horror film veteran makes a cameo appearance in Scream?
I know. Okay. So it's Linda Blair. She is one of the reporters. There's like when Sydney's walking into school, she's like, people have the right to know. Like what happened? Like, but she like waves. You really do know this movie.
Did you read all these before?
No, I did not. Are the details in there?
Let's see. That's who directed Scream. We all know it's Wes Craven.
Who's that?
Who directed Scream?
Who's Wes Craven?
He directed Scream.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God. Oh, I see what you're doing there. I was like, what? I thought you were. I was about to take
we're
a look.
We're having fun.
Yeah. When Stu and Randy are talking at the video shop, which movie does Randy help a customer find?
It's The Howling, because the girl comes up and says, what's the werewolf movie with E.T.'s mom in it? And he says, The Howling. I do not know what aisle he says, though. That would be a
she
good
technically movie. Says the werewolf movie with the mom from E.T.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Shit. Let's do one more.
All right, wait, let me find a good one. We can cut this out.
God, I could put money on the fact that she says E.T.'s mom in it because I remember being like, that's a weird phrasing.
I don't know.
Quiz is wrong.
Oh, wow. Look at this. How long did it take to shoot the party scene at the end of Scream?
21 days.
Okay. How much was screenwriter Kevin Williamson paid for the Scream screenplay?
I don't know. Is there multiple choices on that
there's
one?
There's 400, 4,000, 40,000, 400,000.
To write the screenplay? This is more of like an insider question. I would guess 40,000.
400,000.
Wow.
The script sparked a fierce bidding war between five movie studios.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at that. That's super interesting because he couldn't. So I was thinking if he couldn't sell Teaching Mrs. Tingle, then like why would they be paying him to write a script? Yeah. He like was already sort of, wow, good for Kevin.
Yeah.
I'm happy that I got that wrong and he got 400,000. We got to do one more because can't end.
We
on
got
a,
one more. And this, okay. this is a good one to end with. Which actress was originally cast as Sydney Prescott? Oh, we already said
this. It's Drew Barrymore.
Sorry. Wait, let me just double check that. It is, yeah. All right, fine. What movie is playing on the TV at Stu's house party?
Halloween, baby.
It is Halloween, yeah.
Yay!
Oh, wait, man. This is weird. Who kills Stu? Oh, wait.
Who kills Stu? Sydney kills Stu with the TV.
Yeah, that's right. Why did I think Bill... Oh.
Well, Billy does stab Stu.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. All right, cool. Well, that was fun.
I can't believe I got one wrong.
I know.
Well, but I'm happy for Kevin.
Yeah, that was a weird one. I would have guessed 40,000 too,
Just like industry knowledge. It's like, I feel 400,000 seems too high, but like that's awesome.
I didn't know there was a bidding war. So that's.
That was a piece of trivia that I didn't know. So look, we learned something.
We learned something today.
Oh, that was magical. The more you know. Speaking of the more you know, you guys. Well, I'm saying you guys, meaning Jake and the audience. There's usually another person here. It's fact checking time.
Okay.
So this one's going to be a little bit interesting. I think I kind of said at the beginning of the episode that it's sort of been said for years, like in articles, YouTube videos. There's actually, I even saw this, there's a Discovery Plus show called Scream, The True Story. And they all claim that Scream is based on the Gainesville Ripper. This is just sort of something that's kind of become synonymous with the movie. And so I figured let's look into that.
That's fair.
Yeah, because this is like, it's been a hot thing that I've been seeing all around town.
Yeah.
AKA the internet.
In your bedroom.
In this room. So we're going to get to the bottom of this. So question for you, Jake.
Okay, go.
Was Scream based on the crimes of the Gainesville Ripper?
Well, it sounds like yes, because you kind of just said that. I mean, there's no yes or no answer to that.
What do you think? Do you believe the hype?
I don't know the Gainesville Ripper.
Well, let me talk about it.
Okay, let's do it. Yes. Nice. I see what you're doing here.
I know. I had to kind of
This is why I don't do the research.
I know. Yeah. I'm a storyteller.
I'd just be like, okay, this is what happened. Be like, Dewey, ooh, you gotta cut that out.
I get paid to tell stories, sort of. So the answer to this question is false.
Okay.
Here's what I'll say. The statement is kind of a victim of the game of telephone. And we're going to talk about this. You're going to find multiple articles, their whole show on Discovery Plus. I may work for them.
Yeah. Wait.
That claims that that Scream is based on the crimes of the Gainesville Ripper.
Is it a series or just like a movie?
It's a series that it's sort of like a Ghost Hunters thing where like they go to like Florida and they're like, I haven't seen it. Everybody download Discovery Plus. I may be paid by the owners of Discovery Plus.
Can I get your password?
Yes, I will share that with you after this. So, okay, first, like you said, let's talk about the Gainesville Ripper, because if this movie's based on it, why don't we learn a little bit more about it? So,
just so everyone knows, Trisha is passionate right
now.
Hands are all over the place.
I'm very gesticular. I told Jake earlier when we were doing the levels check, I'm like, I'm going to get loud.
Okay, wow. Let's do this.
Gainesville Ripper is a fun little name given to a serial killer named Danny Rowling.
Wait, why is that a fun little name?
I mean, it's just kind of exciting. Gainesville Ripper. Ripper.
All right, go on. Yeah. Jack the Ripper.
I'm trying to be cheeky. Yeah, exactly. So Danny Rowling was born and raised in Shreveport, Louisiana in 1954 to an abusive father who would beat him and his mother.
Wait, a serial killer who was beat?
I know. What are the chances?
That's insane.
You rarely see it.
Yeah.
So he spends time in and out of trouble during his youth. He has several arrests for robberies. He gets caught spying on women as they change in windows. Not great.
Well, that's not legal?
Yep. That is, unfortunately, Jake, that is illegal. Just because you're single, still, still not legal. So then in May of 1990, he attacks his father in the hopes of killing him. But he ends up only maiming him. He removes one of his eyes and ears in the fight. Does this sound like Scream?
No.
Okay. So then he flees to Louisiana. He flees Louisiana and heads to Gainesville, Florida, where he's obviously like, he can't live with dad anymore. He just ripped his eye and ear off. In Gainesville, he goes on a crime spree. Over 4 days in August of 1990, he stalks, stabs, rapes, and kills 5 college students, 4 females and 1 male. All incidents had the same pattern. He would break into their apartments while they were asleep, stab them in their beds, rape the women before killing them. And then the male victim was a roommate of one of the girls that woke up while he was in the process of killing one of the girls. So sort of was killed like on the side. Rowling would also mutilate the bodies of his victims post-mortem. He would leave the severed heads and body parts staged in like lewd sexual positions for the authorities to find. Does any of this sound like Scream?
No.
Okay, yeah. So Rowling ends up getting arrested a month later after this killing spree for a burglary charge in Ocala, Florida, which I guess is a nearby town. And then after spending some time in jail, he becomes a suspect in the Gainesville murders. while he's incarcerated, DNA evidence eventually matches him to the crimes. And so he was formally charged with several counts of murder. So besides the fact
that where's the other murderer? Where's the teens?
Correct.
Like, I mean, I guess were the girls teens?
No, they were college students.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They were all college students. So, yeah, there's not two killers. They were not in high school. These were not friends. There was nobody. He was not dating any of the victims. I mean, they were not dismembering people and putting their bodies in lewd sexual positions in shame. Right?
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's not true. It's just not true. However, the story does have some validity. Like I said at the beginning of this, it's a bit of a game of telephone. So, Jake, I'm going to ask you a question, but I'm just going to ask it in a different way.
Okay.
Jake, do you think that Kevin Williamson was inspired to write the movie Scream while he was watching a documentary on the Gainesville Ripper?
No.
Okay, so that is actually the truth.
Okay.
So, I'm clearing the air here, you guys, because I feel like Scream needs to be appreciated for Scream and not be tied to the Gainesville Ripper. So, the movie Scream is not based on the Gainesville Ripper or his crimes. But rather, Kevin Williamson got the idea for the movie while he was watching a documentary on the Gainesville Ripper while he was house sitting.
Do we know whose house?
So, I'm going to set the scene.
Okay. All right.
It's one night. He's house sitting at a friend's house. He's watching this documentary about all these gruesome attacks and home invasions about, you know, the Gainesville Ripper breaking into homes. While he's watching, he looks over and he notices that he had left one of the house's windows wide open. So he's all worked up from the documentary and he starts freaking out and he's convinced that somebody has broken into the house. Rather than running out of the house, he decides to grab a kitchen knife and begins to walk around the house and check behind the doors, going into different rooms, looking all around. He realizes that if someone's in the house, this is really a stupid move and he should just have run out the front door, which, as they mention in the movie.
Oh.
So as he's freaking out, he decides to call one of his friends and he's like, dude, just in case something happens while I'm checking this house, I need you on the phone. His friend, being like, you know, a nice guy, ends up bringing up all of these horror movies and like all these scenes and talking about how, oh man, it's just like this certain horror movie. It's just like this scene. So they start talking about their favorite movies as he's like scared and running around this house. Eventually, Kevin calms down, realizes nobody's in there, but he thinks, man, if somebody really was in the house and there's like a kid in there that's talking about horror movies and making all the wrong decisions, that would be a really interesting movie. And thus, the idea for the script is born, which is why you get this like meta horror film referencing dialogue in the movie, because he just pulled it from this moment in his real life where he was scared as a horror movie
fan. Was that from like an interview or something?
Yeah, this is like, what's so interesting to me is that this is kind of well documented. Kevin Williamson talked about this. Obviously, there hasn't been a lot of press about the movie Scream since the 90s, but like he told the story a couple times.
Yeah.
And then somehow through years of a game of telephone, people started to say that it's inspired by the Gainesville Ripper, which it's just not. It's an original story penned by a genius, and thus it needs to be respected as such, which is why I wanted to do this episode.
That's interesting. Wow.
It's kind of interesting.
It's a little different,
right,
than what we normally do, but like.
But again, you know, I'm all about getting to the truth.
Yeah.
And celebrating horror.
This was not based on a true.
It was
scary.
This is not based on a true scary.
I mean, it is kind of.
Based on a true scary moment.
Yes, scary moment. There you go.
Yeah, it's based on a true scaredness of Kevin Williams.
Scaredness.
I do have one more question for
cool.
you, Jake.
All right, let's do it.
And it's for everyone else too. Okay. The question is Scream the best movie of all time?
No, that would be. I wish I had something clever to say.
I know,
right now.
You're wrong. It is true. What are you gonna say?
I don't know. I got nothing.
Yeah, you know why you got nothing?
Because it's the best movie.
Because Scream is the best movie of all time.
Yeah. All right.
Mic drop. If this mic wasn't.
That's it. Just end episode.
I know. Should we just cut?
Just cut.
I'm so glad we got to do this.
I know. Especially after you canceled the last time we tried to do it.
I know. It's true. It was all me. Please.
I like how you just keep rolling with it.
I'm not going to air your dirty laundry on air. It's better. Look, sometimes the truth hurts.
Yeah.
No, this was Fuck yeah, Scream, you guys. Seriously.
I did not see this outcome.
I know, it's kind of wild,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Did you think it was based on something?
I thought it was going to be something like, oh, it's based off, you know, a murder that he read about, you know? Like,
which is usually the case.
It's usually the case, which is also, like, very interesting to me. Like, so...
Well, we get to talk a little bit about the Gainesville Ripper, which, yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting.
I'm going to Google him, like, as soon as we...
It's a really famous one, which, again, I think is why they want to sort of tie it to the movie. But no, Kevin Williams was just watching a doc on it, and then he got scared and was like, ooh, I'm going to make a meta horror movie. Completely unrelated.
Yeah.
It was just based... It's based on his fear.
Let's talk more about how you go to Palm Springs and not just hang out in the pool.
Dude, I know.
He must have went during the winter.
Now every time I go to Palm Springs, I'm going to feel guilty that I don't write the best horror movie of all time.
It's kind of like how Tarantino wrote, I forget. I think it was Reservoir Dogs at Denny's. Oh, now every time sense. I go to Denny's, I get a little upset.
You get a little upset. You should be a little upset every time you go to a Denny's. Things aren't going well here. Sitting in a Denny's, you may have to make some question your decisions.
This podcast is brought to you by Denny's.
I know, right? Denny's, please, I apologize. Please sponsor our podcast. That was Scream. I don't know. We don't have a guest to advertise anything, but
yeah.
I guess we can advertise. We say this at the end of every episode. We are going to make more of these. I think we can do it. Also, it's spooky season. We have to step it up.
Yeah, we can do it. I mean, my drama's pretty much over.
I think your drama's over. Yeah. It's come to a close.
It's come to a close.
We're fully dedicated to the pod. Yeah. We're fully dedicated to you. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for all of the messages that you guys sent us about, like, please make more episodes.
That was cool. We didn't expect that.
I know, we didn't. You like us. You really like us.
There was definitely a moment where Trish was like, should we just not do it anymore? Like, you kind of said it that way. You're like, I don't know, maybe? And I was like, no, we should still do it. And that was it. You're like, oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, look, this is my passion. I love it.
Yeah.
I want to do it forever as long as I don't keep canceling. But no, we're gonna get it together, and it's all for you guys. So yeah, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Yeah.
We'll be back. Go watch Scream. Do it again.
Do it again. Why not?
It's the best.
Scream 2, 3.
Scream 2,
Tell us
three.
Which is better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're wrong if you don't say Scream. But yeah, do it. We respect your opinion. All right.
Okay.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.